Welcome to TechNori Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with some of Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you tuning in for the first time, shame on you. What is TechNori? Well, put simply, TechNori is where startups go to showcase. Since 2010, nearly 300 startups have been featured by us. And to date, they've gone on to raise more than $260 million in funding. I'm sure we had nothing to do with that. But really, it had a lot to do with these amazing entrepreneurs in Chicago. Adam, I don't know how to pronounce your last name, and I didn't get a chance.
Oxtein.
I never... Bennett, would you... We were talking about this before the show.
You would have so butchered that.
Oakstein.
That wouldn't have been close.
Osteen.
I was about to go Osteen just to, like, be funny. But like, I got our new guy, Joel Osteen's brother, Adam. He's here with a brand new startup. No, I'm just kidding. But you are the founder and CEO of Stratix. We have had a couple of different people from Zenefits to Insperity and a few others in between.
Ooh.
These little companies.
Yeah.
Well, Zenefits is... I'll leave that alone for right now. They had a little issue in California
just
today.
To leave it, yeah.
Just a $7 million issue.
Yeah.
But the point is... This is another one of the verticals. I always refer to TechNori, whether it's our sponsors as well as our guests, that there are essentially five verticals for every business. But startups at this early stage of a company, the five verticals in my mind are always the benefits and healthcare and HR, just kind of under a hub and at that stage.
That noise. Just call it the noise.
Payroll. I mean, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's the noise. And then it's, of course, legal. There's real estate. There's hiring people. Of course, there's still HR. And then there's finance and investments. And I think that without... any of those five already kind of an idea in mind what you want to do with them, you are running your business in a wrong direction.
100%.
So I'm happy to have you here and tell us a little bit about what you guys are working on as well as some of your advice and experience that you've had working in this industry.
Great. Glad to be here.
So
big commute, by the way. Really long commute.
Where'd you come from?
That building right there across the street.
Well, it's a nice building.
It is a nice building.
Well, thank you for taking the time and waiting at that stoplight by Starbucks. I know it can be a pain in the ass sometimes. Why don't you tell people what Stratix is all about, though?
Yeah, Stratix provides HR software and services to small, mid-sized businesses, primarily distributed workforce, right? So you have a corporate office, and I have 8, 10, 15, 20 satellites. Those might be restaurants, might be retail, might be hotels, might just be a distributed workforce where paper is not easily shuffled from location to location. So that's really where we try to focus.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It is.
How long has Stratix been in business?
Based on what we're doing today, we've pivoted a couple times. When I first started Stratix, I was providing sales consulting for technology startups in New York, moved to Chicago back in 2003, and then 1871, ITA.
So you've gone through, so this is perfect. So you went through the same sort of track that like everyone else and me included went through.
Yeah. So when I first moved, there was no technology here. So I was looking to provide sales consulting for technology startups because my wife's from Chicago. We moved here, started a family near
her. Where do you live?
We live in Lincoln Park.
Oh, Lincoln Park. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to get personal, but I feel like I know you, and I've been trying to place it this whole time, like why I know you. But anyway, I digress.
One of those faces. Maybe you have one of those faces too, maybe.
Well, it's plastered on all kinds of ads. I pay for the ads, though. So anyway, you were saying you moved here.
Yeah, so there's no technology here. So I was literally on a plane back and forth to New York and Boston weekly. And across one of those many plane rides, as I was overserved a few Heinekens on one of those.
We've all been there.
Yes. I came out, kept on coming with the idea that, you know, what you referenced, like those five verticals that, you know, I used to call it the noise. Like someone's got to handle all this HR stuff for companies. So I kind of stumbled into not knowing how to spell HR into the notion that, it was a good thing for small businesses to potentially outsource.
Right? Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And then so if you look at the Insperity model, which is, you know, classically a PEO, a leased employee model, we were trying to build a model for that non-leased employee workforce, call it 20 to 100 employees when we first started. And through many trials and tribulations, we pivoted a handful of times, and we were first licensing third-party software, and then eventually said, there's no software out here that really manages from recruitment all the way post-termination in Cobra in a single platform. So when we built out the software about 9-10 years ago, it was too much muscle and brawn for a 30, 40, 50-person company. They don't need that type of horsepower, right? So when we really got going, we realized that the biggest challenge that most businesses face is when I have that distributed workforce, how do I automate that process with all these different moving parts? So we kind of stumbled into the notion that it makes a lot of sense for us to work with small businesses that have a distributed workforce.
So I guess my sort of follow-up on that would be, What would be the one thing that you've noticed of all the companies? You talk about the too much muscle and brawn. Of all of the companies that they always think they need, but they don't ever need. Like, what's that? I feel like companies waste tons and tons of money, particularly early, quick-growing companies. They waste tons of money in this area because they think they need all the horsepower, but they don't actually need any of it.
I mean, yeah, so I don't, if I have 30, 40 employees, automation is not really that important, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how many people am I going to hire a week or a month or a quarter? Where I need help probably is on the left side of that life cycle,
yep.
Right? I'm growing the company from recruitment and onboarding would be the two areas of focus as a small startup technology company that I would focus on getting automation around, right? I don't want to spend time screening through a bunch of candidates. You know, the first perception of an organization, you know, that whole Head and Shoulders commercial, we have one chance to make a first impression, is what's my onboarding experience like? Okay, Scott, today's your first day. Here's 8 reams of paper. I need you to sit at a desk for the next 6 hours and fill out this paperwork, yeah. Right? That is a perception problem that I would probably want to attack. But me, like, having a system to automate salary changes and doing, you know, request for time off and even benefit enrollment, do I really need high-powered software if I have 30, 40 employees?
No.
Probably not.
Yeah. Well, they think I have, like, I don't even have, like, official employees. I have these guys here who are independent contractors, and I think I need payroll with, like, an automate. I don't want to do any of this stuff. I think that's a part that gets some of the founders and company leaders kind of psyched out, is they can think and come up with crazy models all day long, but when it comes to this stuff, they'll, like, freak out, and I don't want to even touch it. So I worry, like, I feel like I want to pay to automate it just because I don't want to be the guy who was like, you screwed that up.
Right. And payroll is extremely intimidating, right?
Yeah, because you have to pay people money first,
right?
And taxes.
You can't screw up two things. I've learned in the last 15 years, someone's pay, and for whatever reason, this is almost on the same level. Their PTO balance. If their PTO balance is off by like a half an hour, like Scott screwed me. Like my, you know.
Oh, you're just asking for the whole like an upheaval of people, right? Just uprising on you if you mess with those things. But I think, I don't know. I feel like in this sort of space, you know, having dealt with the guys at Insperity a lot, I mean, and I've a bunch of buddies started Wolf Point Advisors. They're guys from my local area. I've listened to quite a bit about these guys talking about, just in general, the insane amount of questions that they're asked every time that they take the first meeting or introduction with a new client. It's like, just, you know, you can't even, well, you can imagine, obviously, yeah. But I couldn't even imagine some of the questions, like, how would you even start a business and have not thought of how do you bring on employees? How do you have, like, I'm forgetting right off the top of my head, I'm forgetting the name of it, but when you, the sort of legalese around the way that the office is to interact, like sort of the, what is it called? The lawyers are, they always set up sort of that booklet they give you, like, this is
handbook?
How you,
employee handbook?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I know it's like the legal form. Like everyone has to make sure that these are our policies and places.
Yeah, employee handbook.
People don't think of that. Like no one thinks of that. But yet that's a big, like, something goes wrong, that's a huge deal.
And you know, and the way that the companies are set up today, right? I mean, if we have 75, 80 employees, not that big of a company. We're a nice sized company, but we're not huge. And we have employees in 8 or 10 different states. So now Stratix has 75, 80 employees, 8 to 10 different states. Every time those state legislations meet, they're changing labor laws.
Yeah.
So it's alphabet city.
Stratix needs a Stratix.
Yeah. So we hopefully eat our own dog food, right? But so to me, you know, that as a startup, my concern is probably more around compliance and what I don't know.
Yeah.
As opposed to automation, right? Having a handbook, having policies, understanding how I'm supposed to pay people, how frequently I'm supposed to pay them, right? I might think it's okay to pay someone monthly. You know, we're going to have payroll once a month because I'm a startup. I don't have to deal with payroll.
Yeah.
You're going to pay you once a month. But if you're hourly in Illinois, you have to pay someone a minimum every 15 days.
Yeah. Well,
so, you know, it's
that's all, something I didn't know.
Yeah.
You guys aren't hourly, so don't even look at me.
Damn.
They're independent contractors.
I just like, wait, like, I didn't get hourly. But no, you're totally right. And I mean, I meet with lots of these companies, and I myself don't have the answers to many of these questions. Fortunately, I know guys like you, I can call and be like, hey, you know, this is an issue we're having. But one of the things I kind of wanted to get into a little bit with you, because I honestly didn't know this about you, that your journey is very mirroring of the people listening to this show, which is that you went through the multiple pivots, figuring out what you're going to do, figuring out what the plan is, drawing a roadmap, going to 1871, networking, meeting people, ITA, going through kind of like the business growth programs and things like that, and Elevate, and now you've got 8 states and 80 employees.
Yeah. I still say we're a gangly teenager with acne in terms of our growth. And, you know, our employees sometimes say we need to act a little bit bigger than what we are. But I still like to think that we are...
You're not like throwing midgets at dartboards, are you? It's like Wolf of Wall Street.
No. But I do want to see that new Holiday Office Party movie that comes out.
I can't wait. Actually. I know. I haven't that and Bad Santa 2, obviously. Yeah. I am in line for it.
Both look great. Right. I'm the bad dad that will take my 11 and 12-year-old kids to see the movie, by the way.
So. I've got
to
jump in real quick, Adam. About 40 minutes ago, Gretchen Van Vlieman, she was on WGN TV talking about holiday parties. Give us like a quick little preview in terms of that.
Gretchen Van Vlieman from Stratix.
From Stratix.
Yes.
What was she talking about maybe, or what you guys would approach with the holiday parties? Because that's on everyone's radar.
Well, yeah, we've got about 50 of them in this month.
Exactly.
Don't walk around with a lampshade on your head drinking too much. It's always the guy that you don't expect. Like, you be the guy that I was going to get really
drunk. I will
drunk.
Be that guy.
Yeah.
If we have to.
I think we all know who that guy is. I don't hide my penchant for party at all.
Yeah.
Coat your stomach with a lot of food.
Okay. So really the liability is when it comes to everything.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's...
Do you add that in the compliance book? Is there compliance? Like, we're going to have office parties. Don't black out at work.
No, I mean, you know, we try to have fun. I'm sure some of the advice, you know, I was here, so I couldn't see Gretchen's segment. However, but I'm sure everything that she said, we're like the Costanza. We're going to do the exact opposite at our holiday party based on the advice that she probably doled out.
Gotcha. Producer invites?
Yeah.
Producer invites.
You guys are welcome to come. It's Saturday the 10th at 7:30.
Perfect. It's in my calendar.
I'll give a plug for one of our clients, too, Farmhouse.
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Farmhouse is the one that makes they make like the shake drinks and stuff too, don't they?
Yeah. They it's all farm to table. It's on. Yeah. They have 3 locations.
I like Farmhouse. Very cool. What would be, I guess, some pieces we just kind of segued there, but like, what would be a couple of pieces of advice that you would give to a lot of the up and comers who are going to take the same route that you did? That like, is it about being able to stay nimble? You talk about acting.
Yeah.
You know, acting larger than you are. And keeping sort of like a mentality, that's a leadership mentality, how you choose to run your company. I think that lends itself to being more able to pivot and successfully, you know, ramp up speed.
No sacred cows. That's the one piece of advice I'd give. Like, don't say this is the way I think we're going to do it and be steadfast to it. Be obviously, have conviction and believe the direction you want to go. But don't be so steadfast that if it's not working well, and stubborn to the point that you've just spent your last dollar on a stubborn, and I'm right.
Yeah.
You know, when we first started, we were trying to be everything to everyone. And, you know, we bootstrapped it. We didn't receive any outside capital. The marketplace caught up to us. So we've pivoted again, and now we're really focused on working with restaurant, retail, hospitality, because our software works really well in those industries.
Yeah.
And we want to own that space.
Well, I was going to actually ask you. I'm glad you said that. I was going to ask you who is your like ideal customer. Since you covered that, what would be sort of the, I don't want to say the three pillars because you've gone over mostly what the pillars are, but what would be those three pillars if I'm a business that I might be having trouble in that I would want to look towards Stratix specifically?
Wage and hour, number one, right? I mean, the new union for our workforce today. Unions are dead unless it's public sector.
Yep.
So the union, de facto union, is the government now. Whether it's federal, state,
yay.
What's that?
Yay.
So the government's acting as the corporate cop. You know, and that might change with President-elect Trump and what he's going to do with NLRB and some of the labor laws that might change. But, you know, whether it be Affordable Care Act or the other minimum wage increases or the, you know, the exempt thing that just had an injunction, you know, based on Texas, based on the, you know,
you kind of touched on the president thing really opens up a whole big change across the board because it's unknown as to what's going to go.
I don't
with the
think
Obama
he knows year. What he's going to do.
Well, I would agree. I don't want to go into that, but I don't disagree. But I do think that it will have even more value to your company. Yeah. Truthfully, because you've got a lot of different things that potentially could be flipped on its head, and people had a hard time adjusting to what we had.
People don't like change, so
no, yeah. I mean, except for they vote for it every election. They vote for I want change, and then it's like, I don't want change.
It is a you know, we're going to pivot from hard left to hard right, and that is not good for business, right?
No, It's not good for anybody.
Just give me the rules. Like, all business owners want to know. Anyone wants to know. Just tell me what the rules are.
We were just talking about
this
with Craig Vodnik from Cleverbridge. The same thing. Internationally, he's got all these other countries. It's sort of like 3 years from now, it's going to look like this in America. We're like, well, 4 years ago, it started this way. We might as well just retroactively play it. But then a year from tomorrow, it's going to be different entirely.
Right.
Like, how the hell do you play game?
No.
It's impossible.
And that's why, you know, smaller businesses are at extreme advantage than these large enterprises, because it's easy for businesses our size to pivot.
Yeah.
I mean, in Insperity, it's hard for an Insperity to pivot. You know, they're 25, 30 times our size.
Sure. Well, I guess the one thing I would end on is what you did make clear and what we've kind of made clear in the end is that every business really is going to have to need your phone number shortly here, because even if things don't change drastically, you should probably know whether you're in compliance with the past or what could be the future or how to put yourself in position so that this doesn't become a nightmare, because these are legitimately one of the biggest reasons that startup companies in particular, we'll call them growth companies at this stage that they collapse, is because as a startup, they were nimble and it was fine and fun and no one cared. The money number was not high enough that the government really gave any care one way or the other about it. Once you start to employ people and you're doing benefits, and now what your contributions to taxes and benefits have an impact on large group benefits or on larger community things, Social Security, all this other stuff, now they start to pay attention. And if you're screwing up, you're going to have the IRS stick an audit up your butt, and that's going to be the end of that. And your business literally...
Or Springfield, or City of Chicago, right?
Or any... Well, yeah. I mean, three rows of trouble, and that doesn't even count what could happen internally.
Correct.
So it's very important conversation. Thank you, Adam, very much for taking the time and coming
Thanks,
in
Scott.
Here. Very cool. Watch this episode and more on technori.com. Follow me at Katoon. And to keep up with future showcases, Technori stories, and The Feed with Sean, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori. Boom. That's a long wrap.